Translation, Agnita then praised Prabhupada's raised breast. He said, my dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. But most fortunate one, I beg to inquire, where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence? Prabhupada Agnita appreciated Prabhupada's raised breasts. And after seeing the girl's breasts, he became almost mad. Nevertheless, he could not recognize whether Prabhupada was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. He therefore addressed it with the word Vija, O Brahmana. Yet, why should a Vija, a Brahmana boy, have horns on his chest? Because the boy's waist was thin, Agnita thought he was carrying the horns with great difficulty, and therefore them filled with something very valuable. Otherwise, why would he carry them? When a woman's waist is thin and her breasts are full, she looks very attractive. Agnidra, his eyes attracted, contemplated the heavy breasts on the girl's thin body and imagined how her back must sustain them. Agnidra imagined her raised breasts for two horns she had covered with cloth so that others would not see the valuables within them. Agnidra, however, was very anxious to see them. Therefore, he requested, please uncover them so I can see what you are carrying. Rest assured, I shall not take it away. If you feel an inconvenience in removing the covering, I can help you. I myself can uncover them to see what valuable things those raised horns contain. He was also surprised to see the red dust of the perfume kumkum spread over her breasts. Nevertheless, still considering Prabhupada a boy, I need her address for a Subhaga, most fortunate Muni. The boy must have been fortunate, otherwise how simply, by standing there, could he perfume Agnidra's entire ashram? Teshwell, well, best friend, will you kindly show me the place where you reside? I cannot imagine how the residents of that place have gotten such wonderful bodily features as your raised breasts, which agitate the mind and eyes of a person like me who sees them. Judging by the sweet speech and kind smiles of those residents, I think that their mouths must contain nectar. Still bewildered, Agnita wanted to see the place from which the Brahmana boy had come, where the men had such raised breasts, such attractive features, he thought must be due to the severe austerities performed there. Agnita addressed the girl as Subhartama, the best friend, so she would not refuse to take him there. Not only was Agnita captivated by the girl's raised breasts, he was also attracted by her sweet speech. nectar seemed to emanate from her mouth, and therefore he was increasingly surprised. My dear friend, what you eat to maintain your body, because you are chewing betel, a pleasing scent is emanating from your mouth. This proves that you always eat the remnants of food offered to Vishnu. Indeed, you must also be an expansion of Lord Vishnu's body. Your face is as beautiful as a pleasing lake. Your jeweled earrings resemble two brilliant sharks with unblinking eyes like those of Vishnu. And your own eyes resemble two restless fish. Simultaneously, therefore, two sharks and two restless fish are swimming in the lake of your face. Besides them, the white rows of your teeth seem like rows of very beautiful swans in the water, and your scattered hair resembles swarms of bumblebees following the beauty of your face. Therefore, the devotees of Lord Vishnu are also his expansions. They are called Divinamsa. Lord Vishnu has offered all kinds of sacrificial ingredients, and because devotees always eat prasad, the remnants of food, the scent of sacrificial ingredients emanates not only from Vishnu, but also from the devotees who eat the remnants of his food or the food of his devotees. Agnidra considered Purvachiti an expansion of Lord Vishnu because of the pleasing scent of her body. Aside from that, because of her jeweled earrings shaped like sharks, because of her scattered hair, resembling bumblebees, mad after the scent of her body, and because of the white row of her teeth, which resembles swans, I made her compare Purvachiti's face to a beautiful lake decorated with lotus flowers, fish, swans, and bumblebees. My mind is always restless by playing with a ball, moving it about, all about with your lotus-like palm. You are always agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, and you are not attentive to arranging it. How are you going to arrange it? Like a man attached to a woman, the most cunning wind is trying to take your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? The girl Purvachiti was playing with a ball in her hand. The ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose. The belt holding her cloth was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidra tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Oh, best among those performing austerities, where did you get this wonderful beauty that dismantles the austerities performed by others? Where have you learned this art? What austerity have you undergone to achieve this beauty, my friend? I desire that you join me to perform austerity and penance, for it may be that the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, being pleased with me, has sent you to become my wife. For her part, Agnidra appreciated the wonderful beauty of Purvachiti. Indeed, he was surprised to see such exceptional beauty, which must have been the result of past austerities and penances. He therefore asked the girl whether she had achieved such beauty just to break the penances and austerities of others. He thought that Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, might have been pleased with him and might have sent her to become his wife. He requested Purvachiti to become his wife, so that together they could perform austerities and penances in family life. In other words, a suitable wife helps her husband perform penances and austerities in household life if both of them are on the same elevated platform of spiritual understanding. Without spiritual understanding, husband and wife cannot be equally situated. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, is interested in good progeny. Therefore, unless he is pleased, one cannot get a suitable wife. In fact, Lord Brahma is worshipped in marriage ceremonies. And indeed, even today, the wedding invitation is still issued with a picture of Lord Brahma on the face of the card. Lord Brahma, who is worshipped by the Brahmana, has very mercifully given you to me, and that is why I have met you. I do not want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you and cannot be drawn away. O woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like, and your friends may also follow me. Now I give you a card. Finally admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachiti, and therefore, before she could say, "But I have no business with you," he expressed a desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, heaven or hell, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservations. Srimad Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Maharaja Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with lusty words and gained her favor. Since King Agnidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment, but because he wanted a wife for progeny and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachiti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted to a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidagdha. Attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, and magnanimity of Agnidra, the king of Jambavita, master of all heroes, Purvachiti lived with him for many thousand years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. By the grace of Lord Brahma, King Agnidra and heavenly girl Purvachiti found their union quite suitable, as they enjoyed worldly and heavenly happiness for many thousands of years. In the womb of Purvachiti, Maharaja Agnidra, the best of the kings, begot nine sons, namely Nabi, Kimpurusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranya, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Bhadrasva, and Ketumala. Purvachiti gave birth to these nine sons, one every year, but after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. There are many instances in which Apsaras, heavenly angels, have descended to this earth in order, by the order of a superior demigod like Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, have followed the demigod's order by marrying someone and giving birth to children, and then returned to their celestial homes. For example, after Menaka, the celestial woman who had come to delude Vishwamitra, gave birth to the child Sukuntala, she left both the child and her husband and returned to the heavenly planets. Purvachiti did not remain permanently with Maharaj Agnidra. After cooperating with in his household affairs, she left Maharaj Agnidra and all nine sons and returned to Brahma to worship him. Because of drinking the breast milk of their mother, the nine sons of Agnidra naturally had strong, well-built bodies. Their father gave them each a kingdom in a different part of Jambavid. The kingdoms were named according to the names of the sons. Thus, the sons of Agnidra ruled the kingdoms they received from their father. The Acharya specifically mentioned that in this verse the word Matu Anugraha, by the mercy of the mother, referred to the breast milk of their mother. In India, it is a common belief that if a baby is fed the mother's milk for at least 6 months, his body will be very strong. Besides that, it is mentioned here that all the sons of Agnidra were endowed with the nature of their mother. Bhagavad Gita also declares, Strishu, Yushtasu, Varshneya, Jayate, Varna Shankara. When women are polluted, Varna Shankara, unqualified children are generated. When the Varna Shankara population increases, the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, according to Manu Samhita, a woman needs a great deal of protection in order to remain pure and chaste so that her children can be fully engaged for the benefit of human society. After Purvachiti's departure, King Agnidra, his lusty daughter, is not at all satisfied, always thought of her. Therefore, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king, after his death, to the same planet as the celestial wife. That planet, which is called Pitraloka, is where the Pitas, forefathers, live in great delight. If one always thinks of something, he certainly gets a related body after death. Maharaj Agnidra was always thinking of Pitraloka, the place where his wife had returned. Therefore, after his death, he achieved that same planet, probably to live with her again. Bhagavad Gita also says, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state will attain without fail. We can actually conclude that if we always think of Krishna or become fully Krishna conscious, we can be promoted to the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally lives. After the departure of their father, the nine brothers married the nine daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirupa, Ugradamstri, Lata, Ramya, Shama, Nari, Bhadra, and Devaviti. Let's end the Bhagavad Gita purport, the fifth canto, second chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, all activities of Maharaj Agnidra. So, here we have the conclusion of Agnidra's story. He was attracted to the woman, the Apsara, then he married her, then he begot nine sons. The nine sons were very qualified. They became, kings of the different parts of Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is divided into nine sections, one in the middle, two on the sides, and then on top and bottom we have also. So in this way, there are nine divisions of the Dvipa, and these different divisions or parshas are named after the sons of the king, such as Harivarsha and Kimpurusha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, etc. In other words, the desire of Agnidra was fulfilled. He got qualified sons, and therefore he could go to Pitraloka because he had qualified sons. So, and another point, of course, is that he was so attached to Purvachiti that he always thought of her, And she went to Pitraloka, so therefore that was another reason for him going to Pitraloka. So the story is at once good and bad. Good in the sense that Agnidra was able to fulfill his responsibilities as a king and provide rulership for the population, protect them, and provide competent sons to rule after him. The unfortunate point is that he just went to Pitraloka and he didn't go to the spiritual world. In other words, he would have to take rebirth in the material world. Though he was highly qualified as a king and he was a devotee of sorts, still he was not up to the highest level because he was attracted to a wife, attracted to family life, attracted to sons, attracted to living in the material world. So, therefore, sometimes these kings were not of the highest level. Others we see were very high level, and in fact we'll have persons like Prithugura, Shaktivesh avatars of the Lord even. So we'll have a variety of kings in these descendants from the Manus. So this is the first Manu in the day of Brahma, that is Swayambhuva Manu's descendants, following from Swayambhuva to Uttanapada and Dhruva and then Priyavrata and Agnidra, etc. So this is the first part of the day of Brahma. So every day of Brahma there are Manus, 14 Manus, starting with the Swayambhuva Manu. Of course, different Jiva will take up this role every day of Brahma, and then he will have descendants that rule over the earth after him. So the descendants of Manu will reign for 71 yuga cycles, or 4,300,000 years times 71, so a very long period of time. So Agnidra ruled for thousands of years, and previous to that, his father, Priyavrata, ruled for hundreds of thousands of years, and before that, Dhruva had ruled for thousands and thousands of years also. So they had very extensive lifespans at this time. So even Agnidra was blessed with a very long life, so he lasted thousands and thousands of years as a king ruling over the Bhumandala. So, as I mentioned, his sons were very capable, and he divided that kingdom of Jambudvipa into different sections, 9 sections. And these were given to his sons. Previously we saw that Priyavrata made the different dvipas and the different oceans, and then he gave those to his sons also, and named after his different sons. So in this way the whole of Bhumandala became ruled properly by qualified descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. So Jambudvipa is the central area with Mount Meru in the middle. And then we have the other dvipas around that. So Priyavrata created those dvipas, rulers on those dvipas. And then King Agnidra divided up the central dvipa into 9 sections and gave rulership of these different sections to his sons. And they married the daughters of Meru. Meru is the mountain in the middle. So he had daughters, and those daughters married the different sons, and then they had progeny after that. So in this way the kingdom continued. One of these kingdoms in Jambudvipa is Bharat Varsha. So this is the in this way the Bharat Varsha is only a very small section of the total of the Jambudvipa. So Agnidra in his life we see was unfortunate because though he had good opportunity being descended from Swayambhuva and Priyavrata, still he became attracted to material energy. Of course, it was not evil or materialistic in one sense, grossly, so therefore he was elevated. He went upwards. The Pitraloka is an upper planetary system, like a heavenly planet. So he did not degrade himself because of his following Dharma properly. He was able to actually go to heavenly planets. That was his desire. We understand that if you have sons and they dutifully do the sutta rites, then you have an opportunity to go to Pitraloka. And also if you worship the Pitraloka people, then you can go there. And so he had a desire to do that. But just the desire to do that and just the rites of the sons does not qualify one. One also has to have proper qualities of sattva. If one is a tamogun and one has attachment to going there, one cannot go there. So, in order to maintain sattva, one has to carry out certain activities properly in life. So his whole life, therefore, was a regulator according to Dharma properly. And therefore, he was qualified to go to that planet because he followed the system of Dharma very nicely. Of course, he was a king, so he was not purely sattvic. He had a mixture of rajagun and sattvagun. But because he followed Dharma properly, he got this reward. So by following Dharma, then we get elevated in the material world. But simply following Dharma, this type of Dharma, does not allow us to go to the spiritual world. So that is why this system is considered to be inferior, even though it is the system of the King's Institute. If that's all they do and they get stuck in that, then they can go to Svargaloka. If they are also great devotees of the Lord, like Priyavrata or Dhruva, then they can actually transcend the material world and go to the spiritual world. So, therefore, the system of Dharma that the King's Institute is not the highest goal. The highest goal is that which gets you out of the material world and puts you in the spiritual world. So therefore that process is bhakti. It's the process of bhakti that will get you beyond the material world. Of course, jnana and yoga secondarily can do that with some bhakti mixed in them. But the primary process is the process of devotion to the Lord. So this is the lesson we learned from the story of Agnidra. Personification is like Govardhan Hill is also a person, or Himalaya person. Daughter of Himalaya is there, and that was Parvati. So, in various mountains and whatever have personifications also.
How do you conceive that? Or do you follow the movement?
Well, each object has a devata or a spirit attached to it, that's all.
Puruchiti reached Brahmaloka to worship Himalaya. Whereas King is went back to the Pitraloka. What is that?
Oh, well, it says there also that she was in Pitraloka. So though Brahma sent her, it appears that she went to Pitraloka also for some reason. She worshipped Lord Brahma. And then maybe because of that worship she went to Pitraloka, where he was, I suppose. Doesn't say how she got there, but says that he was able to associate with her in Pitraloka, so obviously she was able to go there.
Well, she finished her duty and was going back to Brahma.
Well, yeah, Brahma sent her, so I guess that's why she left the king after she had done her duty and produced the son, so then she went back again. Prabhupada mentions how those from upper planets generally go back there. So they have different bodies, so it is natural they will go back there. So just as people will stay on Earth, they go to another planet and come back to Earth because that's their natural habitat. So in the same way,
Devatas will go back to Deva Loka or Apsaras and their Loka or whatever like this. So upper planetary persons may come here and live for some time, but generally they will try to return to their original place. Unfortunately, the other person cannot go because he doesn't have the body. So Agnidra cannot go there unless he dies and gets the proper body. So that is why she had to separate from him after some time. And of course, the people on those planets live longer than the people here. So the people here will die before the people there will die. So the lifespans are different also.
Is there a degree of balance between the
It's not really mentioned. The celestial planets are the sun, the moon, and the Venus and Jupiter. All these ones are called heavenly planets. And below that we got Bhuvar Loka, where we have Rahu and Ketu and Bhutas and Pisachas and other entities living. So it's a slightly lower level. And then we have Earth. But it doesn't actually mention if it within Svarga, which are the higher and lower planets.
So Guru Maharaj went in the same world in his future.
In his he got the blessing in that same body. He didn't have to change body. Other than well, it became spiritual, but it didn't change form. So he had the same looked like the same body, but it was purely spiritual at that time.
His mother too.
Yeah. What's that?
In upper planetary system,
the jivas have more shuttle bodies. Yeah. How they can have the relation with people on Earth? Well, that we can say is the blessing of Brahma or someone like that. Generally, they don't. By the blessings of Brahma, they can become visible and they can associate and whatever for some time. But this is not a permanent position. So it's by the blessings of higher beings, and maybe they have some power to do that. So because they have different types of bodies, generally we can't even see them. So we cannot see devatas or anyone like that unless we get proper vision. We can develop a higher vision, then we can see them. But sometimes they can also manifest themselves nicely by their powers. They can also manifest themselves so that we can see them even with these eyes.
மெட்ராஸ் கால் வச்சுக்காமா டூன் டவுன் கால் வச்சுட்டா என்ன பண்ணுறது
இருக்கு.
எல்லாருக்குமே நாளைக்கு தான்மா. ஒரு ஒரு நாள் அதான் ஒரு நாள் தோசி வச்சுருக்கேன்,
ஒரே ஒரு நிமிஷம் தான் பேசுறேன்.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
ரெண்டு கொஸ்டல் இன்னொரு கொஸ்டல் இருக்கு இருங்க
அது மாதிரி
ஓகே ப்ரோ.
No, no, no. Thank you. 그게 중요해. 아니, 좋습니다.
இன்னைக்கு வெள்ளிக்கிழமை வெள்ளிக்கிழமை தான் இந்த காலங்கள் அப்படிதான் போட்டுருக்கு.